Man, turn if you would your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. Over 700 years prior to Christ's birth, Isaiah prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. We know he was prophesied, as we said last Sunday, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and we talked about Micah chapter 4 and verse 8, and that he would be born in Bethlehem. We know that Isaiah tells us he'd be born of a virgin. Here we see that he gives a prophecy concerning who Christ is and who he would be. It says there in chapter 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called," look at the first name, "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace," and we preached on that 2 weeks ago. I'm glad that he gave us peace. Peace with God, and not only that peace with God, but the peace of God. That peace that passes all understanding. "The Prince of Peace," verse 7, "and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth," what? "Even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this." One day he will establish his kingdom forever. And he will usher in a time of peace, as we said 2 Sundays ago, an everlasting peace. And what a day that'll be. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come and read your word and to hear again, once again, of the wonderful words of life. And I pray this morning that you would help us again to see your Son, Jesus, afresh and new. And Lord, that he truly is a wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We notice here in verse 6 it says, "For unto us a child is born." And we studied last Sunday that, of course, the place of his birth, where he would be born, there in Bethlehem, and there born in that and laid in the manger. There a child was born. But the Bible also says, "Unto us a son is given." Yes, a child was born in Bethlehem, born there in that humble stable, born there in that humble room, maybe the tower of the flock, we talked about that last Sunday, placed in that manger. Yes, a child was born. But listen also, a son was given. God gave his son. Aren't you glad of that? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." See, a child was born there in the manger, but understand there was more than that going on. A son was given. God gave his son. God gave his only begotten son. Here it tells us, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Every year we preach a message along the lines. I think last year we preached on the name of Jesus. This year I'd like to just point out this first name. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. He is wonderful. Wonderful when? Today. He's wonderful today. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ saved me, that Jesus Christ gave me eternal life, that Jesus Christ gives me an abundant life. And to me today, he is wonderful. And Christ is called Wonderful because that's what he is. That is what he is. He is wonderful. The word wonderful means miraculous or marvelous. Miraculous or marvelous. Christ is the marvel of marvels. Christ is the miracle of miracles. Christ is the wonder of wonders. The word wonderful also means separated or distinguished. So it means miraculous, marvelous. It means separated or distinguished. This means that he is above any living creature or angel. In other words, he is separated. He is set apart. This would have to do with his attribute of holiness. This also would do with the attribute of his being transcendent. We've studied this on Wednesday night here of late, that God is transcendent in that he is wholly other. You say, "Preacher, that's a long word." Let me just tell you, there is no one like the Lord. There is no one like God. He is wholly other. He is wholly separated, wholly different than anything that we could think of or bring into our little peanut brains. I'm glad that God gives us some idea of who He is, and He gives us some attributes and characteristics that we can study, but understand that He is wholly other, that He is totally separated, that He is distinguished from anything else, anyone else, any being. God is above every living creature. The Bible says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips." The Bible says of Jesus that He's the chief among 10,000 and altogether lovely. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is wonderful. The old song, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Remember the song? Bow down before Him. Worship and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. He's wonderful. He is wonderful. He is marvelous. He is miraculous. He is separated. He is wholly other. He is distinguished from anything else or anyone else. He is wonderful. Wonderful. A babe born, a son that was given. He is wonderful. Three things this morning. He is wonderful for what He's done for us. He is wonderful what He has done for us in the past. He is the eternal existent one. He is the eternal existent one. Stay with me now this morning. Begotten of the Father before the worlds were framed. In other words, the word begotten does not mean made. It means co-equal. It means co-eternal. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W-O-R-D. "In the beginning was the Word." It's speaking of Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him," speaking of Jesus, "and was not anything made that was made." Imagine that for a moment. Jesus Christ there in the beginning. Jesus Christ there with the Father. Co-equal, co-eternal. John described it in this way. He says, "And the Word," capital W-O-R-D, "was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, Jesus, God of the universe, the self-existent one, the self-sufficient one, was made flesh. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As we said last week, Jesus Christ was God. He has always been God. He always shall be God. God never changes. God never diminishes. He will always be the same. Jesus Christ was God in the world above. He was God in the plains of Mamre as He spoke to Abraham. He was God on Mount Sinai when He gave the commandments and the law of Moses. Jesus was God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was God in the manger at Bethlehem. He was God in the carpenter's shop there in Nazareth. He was God in the boat on the Lake of Galilee. He was God in the temple of Jerusalem, and He was God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was God in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." He was God on the cross as He cried out, "It is finished." He is God, was God in the tomb of Joseph as He lay there still in death. He was God on the morning of the resurrection as He broke asunder the bands of death and came out triumphantly over death, the grave, and hell. He was God on the Mount of Olives as His feet left the sacred spot. He was God in the cloud of the ascension as He went away. He is God at the right hand of the throne now. He will be God coming again as He comes in a flaming fire to take vengeance upon all who know not Him and who have never trusted Him as Savior. Jesus Christ is God. He is just as much man as though He's just as much God as though He'd never been man. Just as much man as though He'd never been God. He is the God-man. God became flesh. God with skin on. We speak of the incarnation. That's what the word means. Incarnation of Christ. It means God became flesh. God became flesh. Christ, the eternal one, became flesh. I've quoted this last Sunday as well, but 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God was manifest in the flesh. The Creator of the universe became flesh. Was born in a stall. Was placed in a humble manger. A place where families, where animals eat. The God of the universe. The God who created all things. The God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars was incarnated. He became a man. He became flesh. God was born of a virgin. Let me just stop there for a second. Had He not been born of a virgin, we would not have salvation today. His being born of a virgin is a fundamental of the faith. It's kind of like your car. If you're going to go get in your car this afternoon, my car is always on empty. How is that? Every time I get in the car, it's on empty. But in order for a car to go, it has to have gas, right? When I was a kid growing up, we used to still work on vehicles. You don't do that anymore, hardly. I'm talking about at home, you send it to somebody. But when I was always taught, it had to have what? Two things. Fuel and fire. And so the way you find out it has fuel is you check your gauge, or you put something in the tank and find out. The way you check the fire is you put a spark plug. You take a screwdriver, put it in the spark plug cap, put it up against something, and just pray that it's well insulated, or else you're going to get a good shock. 90% of the time, it's always Dad saying, "Hey, hold this for a second." None of y'all experienced that, huh? Especially with lawnmowers. It's like, "Hey, hold that for a second. Let's see if this thing has fire or not." Especially with lawnmowers, because as a kid, it never started for you, but it always started for Dad. Yeah. "Dad, I can't get this lawnmower to start." He comes home, one jerk, it starts. I'm like, "Okay, whatever." Fire. Has to have fire. Fundamental of driving a car. Fundamental of a car running is it has to have gas. Fundamental of a lawnmower, it has to have a spark, it has to have gas. It has to have it, or else it won't run. And can I tell you, without the virgin birth, the gospel does not work. There is no salvation. There is no eternal life. By the way, there's no hope. Hope was born on Christmas morning. Hope of eternal life, hope of the coming Savior, hope was born. God became flesh, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful incarnation of Jesus Christ. He was wonderful in His existence. He's wonderful in His incarnation. He's wonderful, listen to this one, in His humiliation. Psalm 8 verse 5 says, "He was made a little lower than the angels." The God who created the angels became a little lower than the angels. Philippians chapter 2, we quote this one a lot, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of what? No reputation. He humbled Himself. Spurgeon said it this way. He says, "I do believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the King of heaven, and yet He was poor, despised, persecuted, and slandered by men. Spurgeon says, "While I believe it, I cannot understand it." I believe it. I believe it. And I hope you can tell this. I believe it with all my heart. I know it. I know it. It's not a wish or a think so. I know so. Because the Bible tells me so. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ, the God who made all things, became flesh. He truly is wonderful. He's wonderful also in His death. Can you understand this morning that God was crucified? God was crucified. Jesus Christ, how? By laying His life down for us. Don't get into these arguments with people that say, well, the Jews killed Him, or what did the Romans kill Him? Or no, Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. Nobody could take His life. The God who created all things, nobody can take His life. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have had all the aid He wanted. He could have merely spoke and have gone loose. He could have spoken, He could have disappeared. He could have done anything He wanted to. But He saw His seed. He prolonged His days. He laid Himself down on that cross. He stretched forth His arms. He allowed those Roman soldiers to nail Him to that cross. He died on the cross. Why? For me. And He died on the cross for you. So why would God do that for me? Because He loves me. Because He loves you. He first loved us, the Bible says. Amen. He loved us. See, He did for you what He would have wanted you to do for Him had you been in His place. Everybody get that one? Amen. See, that selflessness, that is a law-fulfilling life. That is love. Paul tells us, love is the fulfilling of the law. And the law is selflessness. The greatest example of one who kept the law was Jesus Christ Himself, who died on the cross, not for crimes He had done, not for sins He had committed, but died willingly on a cross for me and for you. He died for you. By the way, the one who died for you is the one who's Lord over all. The one who died for you is the one who framed the worlds by His voice. The one who died for you is from everlasting to everlasting. The one who died for me and died for you is the one who holds our very breath in His hand. The Bible says, in Him we live and move and have our being. He holds our very life in His hands. And yet He died for you and He died for me because He loves us. He died to save us. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Everybody know that one? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful His love to me. Love beyond all human comprehension. Man, it's a good song. It's beyond my comprehension. How that the God of the universe would die for me. It's beyond my comprehension. I know it's true. I know that's what He did, as Spurgeon said, but I don't understand it. He's wonderful in His death. He's wonderful in His resurrection. Think about Mary as she came to that tomb that morning. And there the angels, a couple of angels, were sitting there by the tomb. And they said, what? Don't be sad. He's not here. He is risen, just as He said He would. Amen. He is risen from the dead. The wonderful resurrection. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose of a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. Amen. He arose. Our Lord, our Savior, is wonderful. Wonderful in His existence, His pre-existence. Wonderful in His incarnation, a big word for meaning He became flesh. Wonderful in His humiliation. Wonderful in His death. And wonderful in His resurrection. Jesus Christ is wonderful. He shall be called wonderful. Wonderful for what he's doing with us now. Listen, he died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. But that's not the end. And he's coming for us again. But that's not the... He's transforming lives now. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the throne of God and ever lives to make intercession for us. There he sits, making intercession for us. Listen, he is working in our lives now. Jesus Christ said himself, he came to give life and to give life more abundant. He came to give us a life. Listen, he didn't mean for us to endure life. He meant for us to enjoy life. As a Christian, you should enjoy life. I don't mean we don't have our ups and downs, but it means we should have joy. Hello? Some of you don't look like you got joy this morning. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy that only comes from knowing Jesus as Savior. That joy that comes from that peace within we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That peace within that only God can give to us. Amen. He is there transforming lives. Listen, he saves us. I hope you're saved this morning. That simply means that you know Jesus as your Savior. That you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You know that heaven will be your home. Do you know that today? Boy, this would be a great time to get saved, wouldn't it? Amen. Right here at Christmas time. To take that step and accept Christ as your Savior. If you're not saved today, that's the first step. Come to the altar. Here in just a minute, we're going to sing a couple of songs. And you can come down front and someone, an adult here, will show you from the Bible how you can know that you can have eternal life. Amen. How that Jesus can be your Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. By the way, it goes on to tell us that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. That simply means that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Whether you're rich or poor, pretty or ugly, whether you're white, black, or somewhere between, God loves you this morning. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. And God wants to save you this morning. Secondly, again, God's not finished with us. He's there transforming our lives, sanctifying us. That word, salvation is instantaneous. When a person gets saved, boom, they get saved right away. Heaven is their home. But sanctification is that long word that simply means that Christ continues to work in our life. That Lord willing, as we allow Him to, that we continue to be more and more like Him. By the way, that's what's best. And it will give you that joy. He's transforming our lives, molding us into the image of His dear Son. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, right? Amen. Took Him just a week to make the sun, moon, and stars. But it takes a whole lot more than to work on me. Right. Transforming our lives. He is wonderful in that He saves us. He's wonderful in that He is still working on us, that He is shaping us, that He is conforming us to the image of His Son, that He is transforming us, that He's given us that abundant life. He's fellowshipping with us. He's giving us peace, as we speak to a couple of weeks ago. He's wonderful. There's nothing like it. There's no greater experience that you can experience in your life than to have Jesus as your Savior. Amen. To have Him as your Heavenly Father. To walk daily with Him, to fellowship with Him, to know that He's there by your side. The Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, men will let you down. Family will let you down. You're fixed to go spend some time with your family. Listen, some of you are not looking forward to it. Some of you are. Most of us are. We're looking forward. But listen, family will let you down, but God will never let you down. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's promised to give us peace that passes all understanding. He's promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, that's a wonderful Savior who's working now. In this present time, is working on us. He's wonderful in what He's doing for us now. And lastly, He's wonderful for what He's going to do for us in the future. Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. I tell you what, One day the trumpet's going to sound. The Bible says there in that same portion of Scripture, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and dead will be called to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. First, I want to point out that Paul calls it in Thessalonians, he calls it sleep. He says when a person dies who is a Christian, they sleep. Don't you like that? So when we look down at a body inside a casket of a born-again child of God, a believer, they're simply sleeping. They're laying in the grave this morning, my papa, my grandmother, other of my loved ones, two girls, they're sleeping. One day, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, the trumpet will sound. And we can have a little debate about what the trumpet's going to be, but I believe it's going to be the voice of God. He's going to say, come up hither! And whether you believe it's going to be a real trumpet, but the Bible says there that when God sounded forth the Ten Commandments, that it sounded like a trumpet on top of Mount Sinai, it was His voice. The voice of God like a trumpet. Come up hither! And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are in the ground who are asleep will rise first to meet the Lord in the air. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. That word caught up, that's where we get the term rapture. We'll be raptured up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Whew. Take comfort in knowing that He's going to return for us someday. He's a wonderful Savior in that He hasn't forgot about us. He's working on us right now. For those who are listening. Working on us right now. And one day, He will return for us. John chapter 14. John says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, He's up there building our mansions. I say, preacher, my Bible says rooms. That's not what my Bible says. No, King James, it says mansion. By the way, that's what the Greek word means as well. Mansion. Building us a mansion. Preparing for us an eternal home. Wonderful, wonderful eternal home. That is our hope. Christ is wonderful. Christ is wonderful for what He's done for us in the past. He is the self-existent one. He is wonderful in that He is eternal. He's totally separated. He is transcendent. He is wholly other. He is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. He is wonderful. Even in His death, gave His life for me. Gave His life for you. He's wonderful in His resurrection that He's not in the tomb anymore. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, now making intercession for us. Amen. Ministering to us. Think about that. He's wonderful. You see, God didn't create the heavens and the earth and create mankind, wind the earth up like a clock and throw it into outer space and forget about it. God cares for you individually this morning. And God cares for me. He is interested in us. He created us for His good pleasure. He created us that we might have a relationship with Him. He desires that relationship. He desires that relationship now. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Christian, this morning, realizing the work that He's doing, the work is wonderful in your own heart and in your own life. He is wonderful in transforming our lives. Don't forget, they're not dead, they're sleeping. One day, the trumpet will sound. One day, the dead in Christ will rise from the dead. One day, we which are alive and remain will be caught up. One day. That day could be today. Remember, here in 4 days, remember Jesus Christ is wonderful. Take time to describe the wonderful Savior with your kids and with your grandkids. Don't jump in and start opening presents without being reminded of the Savior. Don't jump in and start opening those gifts with your kids and grandkids until you read them the Christmas story. Because He truly is the reason for the season. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had to come and again hear from Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You are truly wonderful. We thank You for what You've done for us in coming and humbling Yourself in order that You might die for us. Thankful that You rose again from the dead and that You're now living to make intercession for us. And God, we thank You that one day You're coming again. We look forward to that blessed hope of Your return. Help us, Lord, to be thoughtful. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for what You did for us during this Christmas season. Lord, help us in our hustle and bustle of the next few days that we would remember that You are the reason for the season. Lord, we thank You again for You being so wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.